Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, March 15th, 2018. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho senators may amend strict new trespassing bill that passed the House on Monday. Governor Jay Inslee signs executive order to protect Puget Sound orcas. Pullman Elementary School boundaries to change with the coming of the fourth elementary school in the district. Idaho Fish and Game kills 10 wolves in the Lolo Hunting District, and the Department of Energy wants to keep Idaho National Laboratory transuranic radioactive waste processing facility open. That had been scheduled to close this year. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Senate passed a $1.785 billion public schools budget today, which will increase school districts' discretionary funds. The budget for fiscal year 2019 is 5.9% larger than this year's budget, up about $100 million. The only no vote among the seven mostly unanimous votes on the budget came from Republican Senator Dan Foreman of Moscow. Foreman voted against Senate Bill 1349, which is the school's operations division budget. That bill increases classroom technology funding by $10.5 million. There was no debate in the Senate, and Foreman apparently did not explain his no vote. The Idaho Senate Resources and Environment Committee has been looking at changes to House Bill 658, which increases trespassing penalties and changes private property notice requirements. The committee yesterday sent the bill to the Senate's amending order, which means the Senate can make changes to it. The bill had passed in the House Monday. According to the Idaho Statesman, Resources Committee member Democrat Marianne Jordan said at yesterday's committee meeting, "Clearly this bill is almost like peeling an onion. Every time we identify an issue, we find an unintended consequence that may apply." The Idaho legislature is lurching towards adjournment, possibly next week. Republican Senator Jeff Sidaway said, "I do not know that we can take this and make it a better bill in the time frame that we have. But I guess, being the gambler that I am willing to give that a shot." The bill expects a reasonable person to know fenced or cultivated land associated with a residence or a place of business is private property. It also expects people to know not to go on unfenced or undeveloped land that has conspicuous no trespassing signs or bright orange paint at specific locations. The bill would exempt law enforcement, first responders, bail bond people, meter readers, missionaries, Girl Scouts, and other door knockers. Tenants with a valid lease would also be exempt. The minimum penalty for trespass would be raised from $50 to $500 plus actual damages. Under the bill, landowners could recover attorney fees and investigate costs from someone they sue in civil court for trespassing. However, landowners who lose in court would not have to pay the attorney fees of the accused trespasser. The new penalties for trespass would be between $500 and $1,000 for the first offense and between $5,000 and $10,000 for a third conviction within 10 years. Jail time could be up to a year after the third offense. The current penalties are fines between $25 and $1,000 and or up to 6 months in jail. Under the new bill, if someone causes more than $1,000 damage while trespassing, they could go to prison for 1 to 5 years and be fined between $15,000 and $50,000 after the third offense. The third offense would also be a felony. Judges would also be able to take away hunting and fishing privileges for between 1 and 5 years if the trespass involves hunting or fishing. Meridian Police Chief Jeff Levy of the Idaho Police Chiefs Association said the new law could be a problem in urban areas. Levy said, "We have neighbors that do not like each other and they share adjoining property. We respond to those calls every single day. We have neighbors that will antagonize other neighbors for the most silliest of stuff. This bill just empowers them to further do what they do. If a neighbor steps onto another person's property while he is mowing his grass, that is criminal trespass. If you are walking your dog on the sidewalk and your dog does his business in the grass and you decide to do what is right and pick it up, you are trespassing. The bill is supported by the Idaho Property Rights Coalition, which the Idaho Statesman reports has 36 members, including representatives of such groups as the Idaho Forest Owners Association, the Idaho Cattle Association, and the Idaho Onion Growers. During debate on the bill in the House Monday, House members called private property rights sacred. The bill was sponsored by Republican Representative Judy Boyle of Midvale, who is a rancher and House Agricultural Affairs Committee chair. Republican Representative Christy Perry of Nampa told the House Monday a lobbyist for a Texas family who bought large parcels in Valley County asked her to help get a bill increasing penalties for trespassing through the legislature. Perry spoke against the bill.
I think we need to remember that we have a vast number of people that are moving into this state and very excited to move into this state. They come from an area where they didn't have the opportunities that we have here in this state. I know that what's been brought up is many of the egregious stories, and I agree they are egregious, and sometimes we just have bad actors. But I don't believe that the vast majority of people in this state are bad actors. So I'm going to tell you, though, a little bit of background, or at least what became very coincidental probably to me. But I was approached this summer by a lobbyist who had been hired by a family who had bought some large tracts of land in Valley County. And any of you familiar with that, you probably know what I'm talking about. So these people bought some very large tracts of land that traditionally, although had been private property, they had been for generations, had allowed the public to use them. So these people came in and bought them, and suddenly it's private property, and you can't come on it. People didn't realize it had happened. People had been accosted. They'd had rifles drawn on them. They had people surround them by pickup trucks and pull rifles on them because suddenly it was private property. And what was really interesting to note, and I've talked to a lot of people up there in Valley County because I have land up there, what was also interesting to note was that the property owners who were surrounding the people were on the wrong property themselves. And it took a sheriff to have to come out and kind of de-escalate, and it had to take the other rancher that owned the property to come out and settle the dispute. So this idea that all of a sudden we know exactly, we don't always know exactly. And so here again, when I talked to that lobbyist, I said, look, sometimes it doesn't necessarily take changing the statute, but a lot of times it takes education. And the one thing that I wish was in this bill, along with a lot of good things that are in this bill, is that it would demand some sort of an education. You never see anything on television, never see anything on radio, don't see anything in the newspapers. We don't get the information out, and we automatically have this assumption that people are going to know.
That was Republican Representative Christy Perry of Nampa. The Spokesman Review reports the lobbyist was likely Suzanne Budge, who is registered to represent the Wilkes Brothers of Cisco, Texas. The Wilkes Brothers closed their Valley County property off to hunting and public access, which led to confrontations with local residents. The Idaho Statesman reports a group called the Property Rights Coalition promoted the bill to legislators for nearly a month, including working with Representative Boyle, but did not register as a lobbying group until Wednesday of last week. Boyle denied the lobbyists' involvement on the House floor. Boyle said, "This bill was not brought to me by a lobbyist a few months ago." Referring to Perry, Boyle said, "I don't know exactly what the lady from 11 was discussing there." The bill passed 45-22 Monday, and it is now open for amendment in the Senate. Republican Representative Heather Scott, of Blanchard told the House the bill was needed because of radical environmental groups. She said she got calls from hunters in her district opposed to the bill. Scott said, "My first question was, are you a trespasser?" They said no. I couldn't understand the source of all these calls until we read something on Facebook. Scott said those opposed to the bill are, quote, "these radical environmental groups that definitely have an agenda against private property owners." The bill comes after the legislature this week passed a Stand Your Ground bill that would allow people to kill others if they feel threatened at their home, place of work, or vehicle, and allows homeowners to presume that someone coming onto their land is committing a felony. That Stand Your Ground bill is now on Governor Otter's desk. The Idaho Fish and Game Department says the Federal Wildlife Service Division has killed 10 wolves by aerial gunning in the last month in the Lolo Hunting Zone, which is located adjacent to the Montana state line near U.S. Highway 12. Idaho Fish and Game paid the federal agency to kill the wolves. The agency did not authorize the killing of wolves in the Lolo Zone last year, but had initiated federal aerial gunning activity in the zone in the 5 years before that. According to a Fish and Game news release, aerial gunners killed the wolves in an effort to reduce predation on elk herds. The release said wolf predation on elk, cows, and calves is currently the main reason elk herd recovery has been limited. The release also said long-term elk decline in the area is caused by a reduction in forage because young forests are being replaced with middle-aged forests. It also said money for the wolf killing operation came from the Idaho Wolf Depredation Control Board. The Idaho Legislature's Joint Finance Appropriations Committee last week allocated $400,000 to the Wolf Depredation Control Board, even though the board already had $870,000 in the bank that they haven't spent yet. The highest number of wolves killed in the Lolo Zone in recent years in a single year was 21 in 2016. Center for Biological Diversity senior attorney Andrea Santasire told the Lewiston Tribune, "It's tragic that our tax dollars paid for wildlife services to kill 10 more wolves under the guise of protecting elk struggling from habitat loss and degradation." Gary McFarlane of the Moscow-based Friends of the Clearwater criticized the secrecy around the killings. McFarlane said, "I think it's a very unpopular program, and that is why they are not telling people. The government operating in secrecy is not the way we do things in America, but apparently they think we are in East Germany or something." Washington Governor Jay Inslee signed an executive order yesterday directing state agencies to take immediate action to protect endangered Puget Sound orca whales. Inslee said southern resident orcas in Puget Sound are in trouble with population numbers at a 30-year low. The number of southern resident orcas in the sound is down to 76. According to the Washington Fish and Wildlife Department, there were 98 orcas in Puget Sound in 1995. Inslee said his order makes more salmon available for the whales, provides more space by opening waterways, and gives them quieter waters. The order also increases protections from oil spills. State agencies will be required to find ways to quiet state ferries, train more commercial whale-watching boat operators to respond to oil spills, and adjust fishing regulations, which would protect important habitat and fish runs for orcas. At a news conference at the Daybreak Star Cultural Center in Seattle, Governor Inslee said he is forming an orca task force, which will be asked to come up with final recommendations by November. Inslee said the destiny of salmon and orca and we humans are intertwined. As the orca go, so go we. Southern resident orcas have been listed as endangered since 2005. More recently, the federal government identified orcas as among the most at risk of becoming extinct in the near future. A recent study found half the calves born several years ago have died. Female orcas are having pregnancy problems linked to nutritional stress related to the scarcity of Chinook salmon, which are the orcas' preferred food. According to the Associated Press, Suquamish Tribal Chair Leonard Forsman said, "This is a wake-up call. It's going to take some pain. We're going to have to make some sacrifices." National Oceanic Administration Agency West Coast Regional Coordinator Barry Tom said, "We are not too late from a biology perspective. There are still enough breeding animals, but we need to act soon." You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. The U.S. Department of Energy wants to keep the Advanced Mixed Waste Treatment Plant at the Idaho National Laboratory near Idaho Falls open. The waste treatment plant, which treats and packages radioactive waste for shipment to final burial, was scheduled to stop operating after it finished processing the radioactive waste from Idaho this year. Energy Department spokesperson Brad Bugger told the Associated Press the agency is considering processing the transuranic waste from Hanford at the facility. Bugger said the department has been looking at where to take waste from other DOE sites and treat it. Hanford has a very significant volume of waste that could be treated at Idaho. The Advanced Mixed Waste Treatment Facility cost the federal government $500 million to build and employs about 600 people. A 1995 agreement between Idaho and the federal government greatly limits the amount of nuclear waste that can be shipped into Idaho and requires any radioactive waste shipped into the state be treated within 6 months and shipped out within a year. The plant compacts transuranic waste such as clothing, rags, and machine parts that have been contaminated with plutonium and other radioactive elements. The treated waste is then put in line for shipment to the Federal Waste Isolation Pilot Plant in New Mexico. The Pullman School District announced proposed revisions to its elementary school boundaries after the new Kamiak Elementary School opens. Franklin Elementary School Principal Bill Holman said at a presentation at Pullman High School yesterday the proposed revisions are designed to have elementary students attending schools closer to home. According to the Daily News, Holman said many Pullman Elementary School students do not currently attend the school closest to their homes. Pullman School District Operations Director Joe Thornton said that's because all three Pullman Elementary Schools are over 100% capacity. Holman said with the addition of Kamiak Elementary School as the district's fourth elementary school, capacity percentages will fall to 90%. Student numbers will fall by 130 students at Franklin Elementary School from 460 to 330. Jefferson Elementary School Principal Craig Nelson said 560 students attend Jefferson at this time. Nelson said 120 of those students are in the proposed attendance area for Sunnyside Elementary School. He said Jefferson Elementary School will have a targeted starting capacity of 85%, as will Kamiak. Sunnyside Elementary School is projected to have the lowest starting capacity of 80%. Thornton said that's because of anticipated growth in the Sunnyside Hill area. Sunnyside Elementary School Principal Pamela Brantner said she is going to fight for her students at her school every step of the way. Brantner said, "Until then, I'm not going down without a fight to keep my kids at Sunnyside." Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. It'll be partly cloudy tonight, low 30. 20% chance of showers tomorrow in the afternoon with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 5 p.m. Mostly sunny, high 50. 30% chance of precipitation Friday night. Rain showers before midnight, then a chance of rain and snow showers before 3 a.m., chance of snow showers after 3 a.m., some thunder also possible, mostly cloudy, low 32. Half an inch accumulation possible. On Saturday, 60% chance of precipitation, a chance of snow showers before 10 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow showers between 10 and 11 a.m., then rain showers likely after 11 a.m., mostly cloudy, high 44, new accumulation less than half an inch possible. Saturday night, 50% chance of rain showers before 3 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow showers between 3 and 5 a.m., then a chance of snow showers after 5 a.m., mostly cloudy, snow accumulation less than half an inch possible. And on Sunday, 30% chance of snow showers before 9 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow showers between 9 and 10 a.m., then a chance of rain showers after 10 a.m., mostly cloudy, high 45.
currently at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, 40 degrees. Coming up next, Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And that'll be followed by Appearing Locally at 7:30 p.m. with some music from bands that are appearing locally. And at 8 o'clock, Maximum Rock and Roll. Heavy music with Confinement Loaf starts at 9. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Remember, all the KRFP evening reports are archived on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP, Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial. And online.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.